ധ്യയാമൂദളാവഗുണ്ടനവതീം തേജോമയീം നൈഷ്ടിക്കീം സ്നിഗ്ധാപാംഗവിലോകിനീം ഭഗവതീം മന്ദസ്മിതശ്രീമുഖീം വാത്സല്യാമൃതവർഷിണീം സുമധുരം സങ്കീർത്തനാലാപിനീം ശ്യാമാംഗീ മധുസിക്തസൂക്തിം അമൃതാനന്ദാത്മികാമീശ്വരീം. So we are going to learn the 14th shloka of, sorry, 14th sutra of the 4th chapter of Bhakti Sutras. So Narada, like we saw that Narada spoke about few things that we shouldn't be doing. Stri dhana nastika charitram na shravaniyam. Of course, there are exceptions to that. Like if we are able to remember Ishvara at all times, then we don't have to follow any of these, but it is always good to follow all these until we are in a state, until we are in a particular stage that we can deal with everything. So when a person is learning swimming, person can learn swimming, like he can't directly go into the ocean and start swimming. He should learn, like when he is learning, a person has to learn in the swimming pool, and then maybe river, and then finally he can do the same like in ocean. So directly we can't do. So in the ocean, swimming in the ocean is kind of very tough, and imagine like swimming in an ocean with current, high current or tides, it's kind of still tougher. So therefore in a similar way, like we have the option of either following whatever Narada says or directly following constant remembrance of Ishvara. Tadarpita kila acharata tadvismarane parama vyakulata cha. Always trying to remember Ishvara, and through offering all actions to Ishvara, Ishvara arpitam naichaya kritam. In that way, and becoming very sad when Ishvara is not remembered. But if we are not directly able to do that, then we have to do or be in a place where thoughts about Ishvara, vibrations of Ishvara is more. So there easily we will be able to remember Ishvara. Remembering Ishvara means automatically offering actions onto Ishvara. So that is easier. Sorry. That is easier than trying to directly remember Ishvara, whether we are partying or whether we are in a in a room full of worldly people. So in the 14th sutra, Narada says that abhimana dambadikam tyajyam. So the one thing, like Ramana Maharshi used to say, that the final or the last step to realization is when a person tries to conquer the ego. So ego is something like which is the toughest to conquer. So here, like Narada says, abhimanam. So abhimanam means sense of I. Dambam, so dambam means like kind of boasting. So all those are to be renounced. So all these mean like negative qualities. But in short, we can also say that all these stand for ahankaram or ego. Yasyana ahankrito bhavah buddhir yasyana lipyate hatva pisa iman loka nayam hanti na hanyate. So Krishna gives a very beautiful shloka at the end of Gita in the 18th chapter. So he says, yasya na ahankrito bhavah. Person who doesn't have like I am doing or doership. Buddhir yasya nalipyate. For a person like Buddhi doesn't stick on to Dvaita Bhavam. Such a person, even though he may kill the entire world, he doesn't kill, and like he cannot be killed. So that means the state of ego-lessness. So Ramana Maharshi used to say, ego-lessness or desirelessness is Ishvara. So that is realization. So that is what Narada says here, that anything to do with the ego has to be renounced, has to be always removed from ourselves. So this is something which is very important, because even when a sadhaka is doing lot of sadhana, even when a sadhaka is like able to gain lot of jnanam, so whether it is jnanam, whether it is bhajanam, whether it is japam, dhyanam, in all of those, the ego can still rise up. So that means the ego is always trying to find out a way to stand up. And it is easier for a bhakta, because a bhakta is always saying, Naham, naham, tvam, tvam. I am not there, I am not there, only you are there. As Sri Ramakrishna Paramahamsa used to say. Therefore, it is easier for a bhakta, but still, when a person sings, he can have the ego sense that I am singing so well. Oh, I am able to attract a lot of people with my beautiful singing. Japam. Oh, wow, I can remember by heart. I can pull from my memory 1008 namas of Devi. I don't need a book for Lalita Sahasranama. I don't need a book for bhajans. The tune, the lyrics, all those are in my mind at all times. So the moment a person gets such a feeling, then that is called the ego sense. The ego sense, what is the problem with the ego sense? So ego sense, when a person has the ego sense, that means ego sense is based on duality. So individual, I say I sing well. So that means duality is already created between I, Ishvara, and others around me. So that means oneself, supreme truth of Ishvara, and then other beings around. So if we differentiate ourselves from other beings and Ishvara, that is Dvaita Bhavam. Duality is there. If duality is there, then automatically Kama Krodham or Raga Dvesham will start. So first it is I am singing. And then what will happen? Will it stop with I am singing good? Somehow the topic will come. Oh, you know, like Amrita Swarupananda sings the same song. Immediately what will happen? Oh, do I sing better than him? Or even if like you are not asked, these days like people are all, everyone has dual notion. It is very tough in the world to survive without ego. Therefore, even if we don't have the notion, if we think like I am singing well, if we think or even utter that I am singing well, then immediately somebody will say, ah, like you are singing very good. But then there will be an additional statement. You are singing very well. But I think like Amrita Swarupananda sings better. You do sing better than Purna Amrita. You do sing like better than Hariharan. Lot of more devotion I can see in your voice. But you don't sing like Amrita Swarupananda. So that attachment to one's own singing will cause krodham in one or the other way. Because wherever comparison is there, wherever duality is there, there will be something which is better than what we have. So the moment if sadhaka has the sense of I and mine, obviously comparison will be there. In comparison, something like we will lack something. This individuality means like individuality with respect to something. So individuality means like it can be, a person can be great in one aspect, but in all other aspects, he'll be very weak. Alexander was great with respect to power, but he was weak with respect to knowledge. He was weak with respect to peace. He was weak with respect to love. So when a person has few things in life, other things will be missing. So that means like when a person thinks like he is the individual self, he'll be good in some things, he'll be bad in other things. So there will definitely be krodham when there is a comparison with respect to things which are with comparison with respect to objects or people who possess things in which we are very bad, and that is when it gets into krodham. And like it is tough to understand that ego can lead to kamam krodham this way, then there is a simple approach given in the shastras. So the sense of ego, like if we have the sense of I sing well, then automatically there will be a sense of mine. So wherever I is there, mine also comes into picture. So when we say I am so and so, immediately whatever is there in front of us, like few we like, whatever we like we call mine, and then others will become either indifferent or things which we hate. So immediately kama krodham comes into picture, and kama krodha lobha moha smriti bhramsha buddhi nasham. So this kamam and krodham, kamam will ultimately lead to krodham one day or the other. I like, no, my parents are very good. For how long? My parents are very good. Oh, that's really touching. Your words are really touching. Your parents are very good. Oh, how long? As long as we speak pleasing words to our parents will be liked by us. But once something goes wrong, parents will hate us. When parents will hate us, this kamam will become krodham. Krodham means whenever anger, a person has anger, he is so deluded that his smriti, his memory is lost. He doesn't, and when memory is lost, memory means reference. He'll not be able to refer and say like, should I do this? Should I not do this? Can I do this? Can I not do this? Is this good? Is this wrong? All those reference is not there because there is no smriti. And if there is no reference, what will happen? Buddhinasham. So buddhinasham, like a person's intellect is completely destroyed. There is no reference. If there is no reference, then what will the intellect go by? The intellect doesn't have anything to go by. And that means if intellect is not there, there is no discrimination. If discrimination is not there, we will do whatever we feel without even thinking, without even analyzing. And that will lead to our own destruction. So that means the sense of ego will lead to our own destruction. So if we look at people in the Shastra as well as history, Hitler, Napoleon, many such like great people of the world, or the so-called great people of the world who had a lot of power, but ego as well, they were completely destroyed. They were all total failure with respect to the world. The Shastras, or Bhagavatam in particular, speaks about Durvasa. Like a person, Durvasa is considered to get very angry because he has the notion of the ego that like he can get angry whenever he wants because he has achieved a lot of siddhis. Durvasa goes to meet Ambariksha, and then Ambariksha invites Durvasa to have food. And like at that time, Ambariksha was fasting before that for the welfare of the people. So he had to break the fasting. So he said, Durvasa, like I am fasting, but like it's going to end. So I will have food. So Durvasa said, I've traveled and come, so let me have bath and I'll come and then we can have. And like when Durvasa went to have bath, the time for breaking the fast has come. Breaking the fast also has an appropriate time. So it shouldn't cross that time. Therefore, Ambariksha's minister suggests that he can drink water, which is as good as breaking the fast. Ambariksha drinks water and then Durvasa waits for Durvasa. Durvasa, he has done a lot of or he has done a lot of tapas in order, and thereby he has got a lot of siddhis. So siddhis, and he was egoistic about his siddhis. I have all these siddhis. So he, through his siddhi or vision, he finds that Ambariksha drank water, and he gets angry. How dare he drink water? Like after inviting me to have food, like he is drinking water. How dare he? And then he comes back, and then like he gets very angry, and then he removes one hair from his head, hits the floor with it, and a demoness is born out of it, and she comes like towards Ambariksha to kill Ambariksha. And the entire earth or surrounding area is kind of trembling, like it's like an earthquake. Ambariksha's soldiers are all afraid. Ambariksha doesn't move at all, and like all of a sudden Vishnu Sudarshan Chakra comes there, and it goes towards the demoness and kills her, and then it goes to kill Durvasa. Durvasa runs from there. He doesn't know what to do. He goes here and there and here and there, and then he finally goes to Vishnu. Everybody, like Brahma says, oh, I can't help you, go to Shiva. Shiva says, I can't help you, go to Vishnu. Goes to Vishnu, and Vishnu says, oh Ambariksha, what have you done? Like, it is my Sudarshana Chakra, all those are fine, but I am a slave to my devotees, and therefore I can't help you out. Run back to Ambariksha. Durvasa runs back to Ambariksha. Ambariksha says, oh, I didn't know Sudarshana Chakra was there. Oh, nothing will happen, Durvasa. And immediately he gets rid of the Sudarshana Chakra, and both of them, like he invites, or both of them go and have food. So at that time, Ambariksha again invites Durvasa. So on one side we see a person egoistic, one side we see a person with abhimanam, dhambam, and all those bad qualities of the mind arising out of the sins of I. So our I and mine, aham and mama. On the other hand, like we see a person like Ambariksha who doesn't have any sense of ego. Like when Durvasa comes back, Ambariksha doesn't say, oh, you are the one like who sent that demoness, right? Okay, come, like eat the food. I'll put like put Bedi Matra in the food so that like you will spend the rest of your years in the restroom, in the bathroom. So he didn't do any of those. He said like he invited him, like in he said, oh no problem. He forgot it completely. So that is the state. Like on one side we see a person egoistic, and the other side we see a person who doesn't have any ego at all. And a person who has ego, the ego dies along with the body or objects of the world. The ego, what we call as ego or sense of I and mine, is with respect to the world, with respect to the external world or the internal impression created of the external world. So mental impression means it is the external world's impression. So it is with respect to duality, with respect to world. So wherever, like the when the world gets destroyed, ego will also get destroyed. So Sudarshana Chakra will come towards a person who has sense of ego. What is Sudarshana Chakra? It is chakra. It is Kala Chakram. It is time or death. Time is death. So death will like pounce upon a person who has a sense of ego. Thereby it will completely destroy him. Whereas a person who surrenders on to Ishvara or surrenders on to bhaktas of Ishvara. So a true bhakta is a jnani. Tesham jnani nitya yukta eka bhaktir vishishyate. Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate. Prapadyate, I guess. Vasudeva sarvamiti samhatma sudurlabha. Like all these bhaktas, of all the bhaktas, jnani is the greatest bhakta because jnani is ever abiding in me. That means there is nothing different from jnani and me. I am the jnani. Jnani tu atmaiva me matam. No, the jnani to be myself. The jnani is none other than me. The jnani is one with me. That is what Krishna says. And such a jnani, like if we seek such a bhakta, it is as good as seeking Ishvara. And when Durvasa sought Ishvara, then, which means seeking Ishvara means getting rid of ego. If when he got rid of ego sense, then Sudarshana Chakra was lost, or like he got rid of Sudarshana Chakra. So even Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. So if we go to the United States president, or if we go to Osama bin Laden, like none of them can help us from death. None of them can help us from sorrow because they themselves are suffering. One is suffering to kill the pirates of the world, other is suffering to kill the people of the world. So both are on opposite sides, both are suffering, both are sorrowful. They don't have any peace of mind, any happiness that, oh, I am going to end all of this. Oh, I don't care what is going to happen. Like, I'm just going to do my actions like I've been ordained. Like I am portraying a role in a drama. Do they do it? Definitely no. Both are egoistic. Then what will happen? If we seek such egoistic person, like we will also be doomed. Whereas if we seek Mahatmas like Amma and others, we'll find that they are abiding in Ishvara. They are one with Ishvara. Therefore, they will take us to that state of Ishvara Bhavam. They will take us to Ishvara. They will make us realize our own nature of Ishvara, and thereby, like, we will be able to experience immense bliss. And this doesn't mean that the activities of the world or whatever activities we are doing now, that will be stopped, that will be hindered. All those activities will still continue, but we'll be able to do it like in a better way. Like even while we are doing it, a worldly person might be able to do work in the best possible way, but still it won't give him happiness. Whereas in this case, we'll be able to do activities in the best possible way, and even if the result is not encouraging, we do a very good activity or a very good job with our project in office, but still we are not appreciated, that will not give us even a little bit of sorrow, because we know that this is just a play. We have no sense of ego, no sense of doership, because we know that this entire world is just an illusion. It is just a big drama. So we are one with Ishvara. There is only Ishvara there in this drama. So external differences are temporary, are not real. Therefore, like, we will not suffer at all. We will ever be rejoicing in bliss. And as Shankara says, Nandati, Nandati, Nandati eva. So whether we are doing yogam, yogaratova, bhogaratova, yogam or bhogam, Sangaratova, Sangavihina, Sangam or without Sangam. Yasya Brahmani Ramate Chittam. One whose mind is abiding in Brahman. That means there is no sense of ego, because like such a person knows that everything is one Ishvara. For such a person, he will ever rejoice in bliss. Nandati, Nandati, Nandatyeva. Definitely, he will ever rejoice in bliss. So may Amma bless us so that we may be able to achieve that immense bliss in this very birth itself. Namah Shivaya.